Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where you'll receive a boost of inspiration, practical advice, and tools to maximize your success and personal happiness. And that's not all. You'll also get plenty of guidance on how you can use your gifts, talents, and compassion to contribute towards making the world a better place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a preview of what's in store and to also receive a free ebook. To sign up, simply visit www.thedreamcatch.com. Now it's my pleasure to introduce you to the host of the Dreamcatcher podcast, Celine Chinoy.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a Dreamcatcher interview podcast special. Workplace inequality is a reality that we all face in the modern world. Although women have come a long way when it comes to elevating their place in society, there is still much work to be done. To discuss more about this issue, I invited Dr. Christina Perlman, an author and expert on employee rights and corporate social responsibility. Christina has been a subspecialty physician for 30 years. During her experience, she has witnessed how society devalues women, both at home and in the workplace, by continually placing more value on women's looks over brains. This has motivated her to write empowering books that uplift women. Her mission is to accelerate the overall equality of the sexes in all areas of life. In our conversation, Christina and I look at women's rights and empowerment from a historical, ethical, and practical standpoint. She offers advice on how women can deal with unfair work situations, promote themselves in the world with poise and dignity, and steps that they can take to become leaders in their own lives. Hi, Christina. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time to speak with me and my listeners today. I'm really looking forward to hearing your thoughts on how we can empower ourselves and become a leader in our own life.
Absolutely. I'm happy to talk about that topic.
Perfect. So I always like to start my interviews by learning a little bit about my guest and their background. Take us back to the early beginnings of your career. How did you transition from being a physician who now advocates for women's workplace rights and empowering people to live their best life?
So I think that starting my career early on in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, it was a time when women were still, or more often seen as nurses or teachers or ancillary help, essentially, rather than leaders. And I saw within my career, even though we were approaching 50% matriculation in medical school, female matriculation, it was still an oddity in some ways, or, okay, we'll let them in the door, but we'll keep them, you know, at bay. And it was always an undercurrent from early career onward that I saw how we as women in medicine were being treated and continue to be treated. And so I felt that it was time to really talk about it and understand how we can change that and how I can help other women in today's careers in medicine truly become empowered and be seen as equal members.
Right. And was there any particular event that took place that sparked the interest in you? Was there a particular circumstance or?
Well, there were lots of from the beginning on, from even as an attending, my first year as an attending, having a surgeon who was consulting on a case that I was asking his help, telling me over the phone that I shouldn't worry my pretty little head over that patient.
Oh.
That was one of the first experiences. And granted, I was young, a young attending, and he was a more seasoned surgeon, male, of course. It was something that he would have never said to a male colleague, even a young male colleague. And so that was one of the first instances I thought, wow, that is really, that's really pretty and impressive for someone to treat someone in the medical field an equal that way. But there were many instances similar to that. Other physicians going around my back, talking to my medical director instead of me when we were both on call, a lot of little issues. I think that the whole empowerment, idea of empowerment for me, for women in general, not just in medicine, really started with trying to counteract the popularity of a book called 50 Shades of Grey, which I felt, yes, it was a novel and it's, you know, fun reading, whatever, but
it's quite recently,
it's not
republished, right? And it was, I believe it was
right,
like a few years ago.
Yeah. Recently published a few years ago. And it really gave, a positive spin on women being looked upon as submissive. And a lot of women have said to me, well, you know, that's the choice of a woman if they want to do that. And yes, we all have choices. That's true. But I really firmly believe that if you place yourself in that role in your personal life, it will seep into your professional life. And being the child of the 60s, when Gloria Steinem and Women's Lib was very, very hot. And we were, you know, we saw our mothers burning their bras, and we were young adolescents striving for that Equal Rights Amendment, which yet has to be passed, by the way. I felt it's time to re-energize this movement and help women become more empowered and restart that conversation again.
Yeah, and what do you think the roots are of this? Why do you believe that women are still being devalued in our society? Where does it come from?
Well, politically, first of all, we do not have any rights under the Constitution. Yes, we're allowed to vote. That's essentially our only right. And yes, we're, quote, allowed to work, to be members in the boardroom, be CEOs. But when it comes to protection against pay inequities within all the professions, as well as sexual, verbal, and physical harassment at work, we have no rights. And it continues as there are archaic laws in many of our states about child marriages being allowed, that fathers can essentially not sell their daughters, but get them, you know, married without their consent as adolescents. Or look at what's happening now with the abortion bills that are being passed again.
Yes,
women are losing their rights right and left because we don't have any, really. We don't. We are not protected by the Constitution. We are the only country, developed country in the world, who has a constitution that there's no protection for women. All the other developed countries who have constitutions have protections under that constitution for women's rights. We're the only country in the world, developed country in the world, that does not have that.
Yeah, I lived in Sweden for a few months, and I noticed this, you know, in Scandinavia in general, women are so exalted and they're given incredible rights over there. It was quite surprising.
Yeah, and I don't want us to be put on a pedestal. I don't want us to be unequally over men. I'm not asking for that. I'm asking for simply equal rights. And I believe that helping women become empowered will at least help them at work, because we don't have that, the legal protection.
So what advice do you have for someone, for a woman who's being treated unfairly? How can they empower themselves when they're facing inequality in their workplace or in any situation for that matter?
So the book I wrote, I have a new working woman's revolution with a little R. It says evolution, but with a little R in the beginning, so revolution.
Yeah.
Talks about the 11 attributes that women can work on to help them become better empowered at work. And confidence, teamwork, respect, compassion, empathy, being humble, staying calm, acknowledging others, being honest, courage, having courage, wanting success, and in final enjoyment of life are all the 11 attributes I feel that really are important. But even with that having been said and having women really understand and learn these traits, empowerment requires that there be some sort of protection at work, because a woman can do all of those things or feel that they've got all of those qualities and attributes in them and still be completely dismissed. So I, in my book, I talk about the corporate, internal corporate social responsibility, that if your corporation, when you join a corporation, you really need to look to HR, what your protections are for being verbally abused, sexually abused, physically harassed, treated unequally. Look at what other women within that corporation are saying. So aside from personally trying to become better through empowerment, you also need the corporate side of it to help you achieve that empowerment and success.
That's interesting. Do you think that the Me Too movement has kind of improved the situation or increased awareness about, women being objectified in the workplace?
I think that the Me Too movement has been very important in bringing to light all that, especially the sexual harassment that is occurring at work. Absolutely. And it has highlighted the fact that we are not protected at all. And it has highlighted what women need to look at when they join a corporation in terms of that kind of protection. But I think the Me Too movement has been tremendous. I think that it has really helped open up that conversation to help women become equals and not and become empowered in their areas of work.
Yeah, and I think having a powerful medium like social media really helps. We can have those virtual conversations, and that couldn't happen in the past.
Yes, and it has helped that so many women who have a name in that social media that are recognizable, that are trusted, are the ones who spoke out. I think that has meant a lot, that they have not remained silent.
Right. But I've noticed that women who try to promote their interests or the interests of other women, and when they really try to shine in the world, there's a chance that they will be labeled as being aggressive, unfeminine, and just like angry. Is there anything that they can do, I don't know, to bypass those labels, or should they just not care?
No, those labels are very interesting, and it's really a sociology type phenomenon. Sociologists will talk about men having agentic characteristics, which are those of being leaders, kind of loners in terms of wanting to be out in front of the crowd, go-getters, aggressive, really being the ones in command. And women have been labeled, or not labeled, but have been described by sociologists as having communal traits, which are using teamwork and working together, very communal, caring, and warmth, compassion, empathy. And it's those, when women cross over to acting like men with the, quote, agentic traits, those are being aggressive, it's a disconnect for people. They don't see that they're just trying to voice their opinion. They see them overstepping their roles and becoming men-like. And that's when they start being called bitchy, bossy, aggressive. And in reality, the way that women can change that is not that they shouldn't be out there and promoting, and but they have to, it's a common, and that's what I talk about with these attributes. They have to be able to incorporate the teamwork and compassion and demonstrate all of those all together. Men and women have both kinds of traits. Men are associated more with the agentic characteristics and women more with the communal. But by blending them both together, they would be seen a little bit less harsh, I believe, than they are being seen right now. So a woman, you know, a woman needs to voice her opinion, but and move forward, not worrying, like you said, yes, they shouldn't be worrying about the labels, but they also should not be trying to act like little men. Women can't be leaders by trying to be little men. That's how my point, part of my point of the book, too.
Right. So it's about being able to balance masculine with your feminine energy, right?
Correct. It's sort of like a yin and yang. Yes. Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's, that definitely makes sense.
And women have a hard time because they aren't being heard. And so they go directly using those male traits saying, right, gosh darn it, if I'm, I need to, you need to listen to me, and they start acting that way, then they are really going to be labeled incorrectly.
Right. But sometimes it's not their fault. If they're being triggered by an alpha
right.
male who's not sensitive to her needs, then I guess she has to express more of that aggression.
Right. Unfortunately. And that's where I hope, you know, by being able to hone in those other attributes, it'll balance. Those traits will be balanced out.
I mean, I know that in the Tao teachings that they say that you can get more out of like being like water, like, you know, if you flow like water, it touches on that principle of using feminine energy as a way to get things done in our life. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So do you have any tips on what we can do to become a leader in our own lives? Because I know that this is something that you write about and you speak about.
Certainly both our personal and our work lives, we can be leaders. And we, all of us have both personal glass ceilings and work glass ceilings we want to shatter. And each of our glass ceilings, it are different than the next person. So I do believe that in our personal lives, if we have a partner, that partner needs to understand who we are, and that, again, that it's an equal partnership in our personal lives. And that's, you know, the only way that that will work, and using, again, these 11 attributes will be helpful in your personal life as well as your work life. You know, Sheryl Sandberg, who wrote the book on leaning in, I understand where she's coming from, but women can't lean in if they're responsible for doing everything at home. You know, you can't raise your hand in the board meeting and say, yes, I will help with that project, or I will be in charge of that project, and yet be expected to be the caretaker of your children, do the laundry, cook the meals, go grocery shopping. There has to be a partnership personally where your partner will be helping you in all those tasks so that there's equality even within your home.
Sure.
And I think that's, again, this book is meant for women, but men can learn a lot from it because they can learn how to support us and to understand how working together we can achieve so much more.
Yeah, I agree, because men play a really vital role in that equation. So yeah, they need to know as much as we do. So I really enjoyed our conversation today, Christina. And thank you for showing us the importance of self-empowerment and feeling strong from within when it comes to our happiness and success. Before you go, could you please let everyone know how they can find out more about you and your services?
Certainly. So I have a website, Christina Perlman, but Christina without a H, C-R-I-S-T-I-N-A, P-E-R-E-L-M-A-N .com. I also have another website because I've written a children's book that helps with empowerment called FigJam, F-I-G-J-A-M .guru, G-U-R-U. And all my books are listed. They're also on Amazon. But those two websites, people can connect with me and send me emails. I'm at Twitter, on Twitter at C-C-P-E-R-E-L-M-A-N, and Facebook. So in any of those media, I'm happy to talk to folks.
Great. And that 11 steps for empowerment, where can people find out more about that?
So Amazon.com has my books listed, and I have two of them on empowerment. Actually, three. One is for nurses directly, so a physician's perspective on how nurses can empower themselves. The New Working Woman's Revolution is one title, and then From Glass Slipper to Glass Ceiling is my very first book. It's being released, a new edition. The Modern RN Revolution for Nursing Empowerment.
Great. Thank you so much, Christina. Really appreciate you being here today. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time and letting me talk to your audience, and I hope it helps some of you out there. I'm here and willing to talk, to speak at any of your conferences. So please connect.
Absolutely. Take care.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.